everybody, and welcome to episode 128 of Rain Delay Radio. I am Patrick, and today I am joined by Dylan. Dylan, how are you doing today, man?
Doing great. I think it's been a few weeks since I've been on, been doing some vacation, some work, whatever it might be, but glad to, be around to chat baseball with you whenever I can.
definitely. And we're recording this on Sunday, Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all the fathers that listen.
Happy Father's Day. Happy Juneteenth as well.
Yes, that as well. I spent today with my kid at Legoland. It was a blast. I love Legos. I'm a giant dweeb with that. So
that's
cool.
That is a cool activity for a day like that. So glad you got to do that.
Yes, absolutely. Getting into news to start here. Hopefully this is our last bit of A's news for a long time. but boy, do we have a lot to dive into with this. So we start with the Nevada governor has signed the stadium funding bill for the A's. Basically, the relocation is all but official at this point. It just needs the owners to vote on it and approve it, which is expected to happen unanimously.
Where we're at with that. I think... even despite all this mess that, there was all these agreements that hadn't been made, or, there's still, still question about the money and things like that. And it's just like, inevitably it was going to end up going this way, but it's been such a mess that you can't help but like think of the process failing, even if they're accomplishing what they want. Right. It's just like, everyone has talked about this and everyone seems to be on the same page. Unless you're like very pro, unless you just hate the Athletics or very pro Vegas, like those people are just like, this is kind of just a butcher job of, a move. And it's just, this is another, check mark they needed to hit, but it's just like, Jesus Christ, like it's just, it's so messy. And I know there's been messy ones in the past, but like, I can't help but think it's been so messy and so whack with, especially with the way the team is constructed and stuff and set up, where it's like it doesn't feel like it's even gonna work once they're there. I'm sure there's been other cases, especially in football, there's been teams moving over in the middle of the night and shit like that, but it's just, yeah, it's bad. And I feel bad. So that's the start of it.
There was an interesting thing I saw with people talking about like how this is going to completely differ from the Knights and the Raiders.
Yeah.
With the Golden Knights, when they came to Vegas, they were an expansion team. So they were able to build their own fan base from the ground. And, not really a perfect storm, but when the Knights got there was when the huge shooting happened on the Strip.
Yeah.
So the people that lived in Vegas and around Vegas were able to rally behind the Knights around that. And the Knights made the Stanley Cup Finals their first year there. Mm-hmm. And they've been super successful since. Like, the 6 years they've been there, they just won their first Stanley Cup. They've made the playoffs all 6 years they've been there. With the Raiders, not a lot of people were excited about the Raiders coming there. But it's like the perfect attraction team because you can have people going to visit from out of town
and go see a giant football game,
be able to see a football game. With the A's, like, this is just no one's gonna really care about the team while they're there. The ballpark's gonna be filled mainly with out of town fans, and even then, like, they think they can get 30,000 people in there a night, and I think they'll be lucky if they get 20, honestly.
Yeah, like, it's, they need to be able,
especially
to,
where they're building the ballpark.
They need to be able to foster very quickly a regional fan base in a place that's never aired before, right? And like, and those things have happened, right? Like, anytime a new market is kind of opened up, that has to happen. But Vegas is not a place where we have a lot of data for yet, right? So, and for all the reasons you said, it's just, it's baseball leans more on hey, we have a base of people here that love the sport at minimum and hopefully love the team, right? Like the Nationals, right? It took them a while, but like still a big enough city.
They had their fan base going.
They had success. And it's just, you know, it'll happen eventually, I'm sure, in some form, but like you really need that attachment to grow. And the thing that I keep thinking of is just the state of the team, right? Like, fortunately for the people in Oakland, or I guess, you know, for the fans hoping for, you know, at least a little bit of fun, you know, in the last years of this, you know, they had a little winning streak going here where they looked confident, you know, and they, you know, they can play, you know, if the stars align properly, right? But like, realistically, you're not taking on an expansion team that's going to have a bunch of success like, you know, the Knights did. Like, you're taking on a team that's a bottom dweller, spins like a bottom dweller, and only has so much future potential, right? It's just not there. You know, it's not like the sleeping giant Astros, you know, and stuff like that, right? It's not like, oh, just give it a couple of years, this team's going to be loaded. It's like, no, it's just kind of it's a horrible team that might be okay, you know, and then
think about the players they've traded that team and the returns they've gotten. Like,
it just gets worse and worse.
Matt Olson. They traded Matt Olson, and one of the centerpieces of that deal, Christian Pache,
now plays for the
Phillies and was a big part in the Phillies winning against them this weekend. Yeah.
Very quality, you know, fourth outfielder or whatever you want to call him. But, like, he's basically doing, you know, in a lesser role, albeit, but doing defense and, you know, hitting enough, you know, hitting his lefties. Like, what else do you want?
But like, the A's just don't get the returns that you'd expect them to get. Like, Sean Murphy, like, that trade, like, it's still, like, the only good player they got back here.
And
Ruiz.
Like, relative, right? Because, like, he can run, and he's running well, but, like, everything else kind of hasn't clicked yet. And it's not always going to be that way, right? It's not locking him into a bad career. It's just, like, you know, look at what these guys have done and these other, like, Matt Chapman was the best player in all of baseball for April. Sean Murphy was like second. Olson leads the best offense in baseball and home runs.
Olson looks like Adam Dunn.
He's striking out 30% of the time. He has 20 home runs and he's just, you know, every time he hits the ball, he goes 460 feet. And like, you know, all these other players that, you know, just around the major leagues that were A's or, you know, around them or whatever. It's just, you know, it's not going to be that clean. Yeah. Like, it's like you're going to have a bad team in Vegas unless they just like pump a stupid amount of money into it. And we know it's not going to happen, right? I think just based on ownership, we know that's not going to happen.
Now,
but we can get into some of the other stuff that's kind of.
Yeah. I'm getting into real quick baseball's biggest Vegas natives, Bryce Harper, Bryson Stott, both think moving the A's to Vegas is a horrible idea because they both, you know, see how the Knights groove on expansion with expansion fan base.
Right.
And they think the A's would be better served as an expansion team going to Vegas instead of them. I know, especially Harper's not a fan of it because, like, as much as we talk about Harper as a player, he's also a huge baseball nerd.
Yeah.
And he absolutely hates that, like, the A's have been in Oakland for, like, over 50-some years, and they're now just being uprooted over here to Vegas and have to take the brand with them.
I think everything Harper's shown is that he's aware of history and he's aware of legacy and stuff, and I think it's part of the reason why he signed the contract today with Philly, because he's like, hey, I want to build that legacy somewhere that I love for a long time and, you know, be in somewhere that's had that history, and I'm sure he sees that in different places. Like, when he has been to Atlanta, you know, he might be a thorn in our side, but he loves Atlanta because he can feel that kind of, you know, vibe. And I'm sure he gets that vibe from a lot of different places that have had these teams for so long, and the fans are really passionate, and the A's are one of those places. And it must be really, you know, like, you know, bittersweet for him to be like, yeah, my hometown's going to have the baseball team they didn't have before, but it's going to cost this region.
Just taking it from another fan base.
Yeah, I think
a very passionate fan base.
Exactly. And I think the thing about the rebrand is a good point. I didn't read him say that. I think I agree with him. If that's the case, I think they would be better served not being the Athletics anymore. just moving on to something new and treat it like a brand new team, just being the same players. Because it's just like,
I don't know if you saw, he was wearing gold and green cleats in Oakland this weekend.
That's cool.
As kind of like a support for him. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be messy, and everything that's leading up to it, suggests it will be. Maybe they, can come out with a good marketing, a good team name and whatever else.
I think Rob Manfred has killed any good marketing we're going to get from that. Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment because we got to talk about the reverse boycott.
Right, we'll talk about the one good part first.
So A's fans held their reverse boycott June 13th, so Tuesday night. Fans wore green t-shirts with sell on them. And in the fifth inning, fans were silent for the first at bat, and then they just exploded into a sell the team chant. They were so loud that the pitcher thought his pitch comm was broken because of how loud they were. And then the night ended with A's fans throwing trash on the field after the game concluded.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's how it concluded.
Yeah.
So I think they said they had 23,000 fans there or something like that. I think it was more.
Their average has been 4,000.
Yeah, they've been last in attendance, which it's not because they're not a passionate fan base. Right. It's because John Fisher literally does not care about Oakland A's fans.
Right. Like, why would you support something that clearly doesn't support you? You know, it's toxic.
So they do that. It's cool. I thought it was great. But Rob Manfred gets questioned about it. And, Rob Manfred is the king of having great things to say. And Rob Manfred said this on the A's boycott. And I kid you not, it was the most condescending way possible he said this. He says, "It's great to see what is this year almost an average Major League Baseball crowd in the facility for one night. That's a great thing."
God, he just comes across as such an a-hole.
I hate him so much. He needs a
publicist or PR person. Or I'm sure he has one, but just don't let your inner thoughts come out, bro. You're bad at this.
He doesn't know how to approach things. Look, I think he's killing baseball. I've been thinking he's been killing baseball for years now. So then he was asked more questions, and then he had this to say. So Manfred says, "I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they do. I think the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. They never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. It's not just John Fisher. The community has to provide support. And at some point, you come to realization that it's just not going to happen."
And then
after Manfred says this, the Oakland mayor's office responded to it with the following statement. "There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear the hurdles, including securing funding for infrastructure, providing an environmental review, and working with other agencies to finalize proposals. The reality is the A's ownership had insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail space. In Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem satisfied with a 9-acre lease ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland, we feel confident a new ballpark would already be under construction."
See, that's someone with a PR office.
They know what they were doing.
And we'd heard about that site that they were working on forever. They just didn't want to pin all the price on the consumers and the community and the city. Right. It's just like,
The A's had to pay something. And the reality is John Fisher and Rob Manfred would rather see the team in Vegas than they would in Oakland.
Pretty obvious.
Which, now Oakland, they had, four franchises at one point. They've now lost them all.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
They lost the Raiders. They lost the Warriors. They've lost the A's.
Wow.
It's unfortunate to see this go down, and it's unfortunate for A's fans. And, I know one of our friends was talking about how, what was cool about the A's was how they were, one of the last big blue-collar fan bases with how they support the team. The drums and everything. And just to see that go, is unfortunate. And, you know, I was reading an article where a guy was talking about how his dad would take him to every opening day.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
And then he took his brother to every opening day. And now he takes his kid to every opening day. And now he's not going to be able to do that. Now that generational fandom is going to be unable to continue. Right. And like that's a lot, what a lot of A's fans are. They're generational.
Yeah. And it's something that I didn't grow up with, you know, because I didn't have like major league teams. So like the idea of having that and having it ripped away from me would just be heartbreaking. You know what I mean? Like just thinking, but trying to put myself in their shoes. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, so I can understand it because I grew up like Eagles fandom here in Philadelphia, especially, is super generational. You know, every Sunday is spent with family watching the Eagles. You know, and then like, you know, I could not imagine suddenly having the Eagles ripped away from us like that. So I feel for Oakland. Yeah. I really do.
You know, hopefully, you know, I don't know. I don't know what else needs to be said about it. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more details as more plans are kind of concrete. You know, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes. Obviously, it was a minor hot stretch among a really awful time in Oakland.
You know what's funny? Oakland was supposed to get their City Connect jerseys next year. I don't think that's happening now.
I think the MLB marketing office is going to have to pull some strings because I don't think you can justify that.
No.
Unless they really wanted to go full like heel and make like a Vegas jersey ahead of time.
No, I wouldn't put it past Rob Manfred.
Oh boy, that's sad.
So, moving on from the A's, let's get into some fun stuff here. Not fun if you're a Texas Longhorns fan. The Longhorns, I've been following the College World Series a little bit, but I saw this highlight and it made me laugh. The Texas Longhorns lost to Stanford on a fly ball that they couldn't find, allowing Stanford to walk it off on that drop fly ball to advance to the College World
Series.
Maybe
one of the, like, you have to find a video if you haven't seen it. Even if you're not a college baseball fan, it's so just like, funny. Oh my God. Like, it's funny, but it's also like, oh no. You know, like, you just feel so bad for them. Like, it just, you know? It just it hurts. It hurts to watch, but you have to watch it. It is crazy.
Yeah, the college
baseball always delivers.
I haven't seen who's really advanced yet. I know Paul Skeens, who's likely going to be
one. I was going to say, that's who I was going to bring up.
Yeah, he's nasty.
So I saw a stat. I think the most ever 100-mile-an-hour pitches ever thrown in like one major league game was Hunter Green, and he did it 47 times. In Skeens and their first game of the college, you know, the proper College World Series in Omaha, I think he did it 46 times.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a dude who's what, 21?
21.
Give or take, 22.
Well, and just started pitching too. Like he was a catcher for a while.
Like this dude is crazy.
He's insane. And it's funny because like coming into this year's draft, everyone was hyping up Chase Dolander as the top pitcher in this draft. And they were saying like, this is the best pitcher coming into a draft since Strasburg. Now it's all Paul Skeens. And like,
Skeens has just ripped that away.
He's absolutely going to end up with the Nationals. Cause I think the Pirates are going to end up taking Dylan Cruz.
Yeah. I mean, having those two guys on the same team is crazy. They're kind of worth watching whenever they're playing together. The problem with LSU is that they have a great lineup and one great pitcher, and then everyone else can't.
Everyone else is terrible.
They just need to have some, like, for them to win the College World Series, they have to somehow win the games that Paul does not pitch, which is going to be a challenge. Omaha tends to, so I've talked about this, you know, with various people, and I've probably brought it up on the podcast before, but I was at the 2013 College World Series when I was an intern in Omaha, so I got to experience that kind of firsthand 10 years ago. Damn.
Nice.
Omaha plays very large, so it might maybe works in their favor that, you know, they won't lit up a bunch of home runs and stuff with their shoddy pitching staff or whatever. It's better for, you know, there's like 3-2 type games sometimes, but the offense I think has been picked up. I think it's been a lot more extreme offensive conditions in college baseball this year for whatever reason. So it would not put it past me for there to be a lot of barn burners. But Skeens is kind of appointment viewing. It kind of feels like Kumar Rocker, you know, when he was doing his thing, but with way more of an electric arm, you know, like Rocker was obviously amazing too, but seeing 102 consistently out of a college pitcher is really, really special.
And then real quick, another guy I want to talk about real quick is Jack Caglione, I think is how you say his name. Yeah,
the Florida
AKA
guy.
AKA Jack Tani, as they're calling
That's
him.
That's pretty good, yeah.
So this guy's draft eligible next year, yeah. But he's easily the biggest two-way player in college right now. Throws 100 and hits 400-foot home runs.
He's kind of
been compared to Shohei Ohtani.
He's kind of like, not to, you know, this isn't meant to throw shade at him, but it's kind of like the dude, it's kind of just sad to look back now, Brendan McKay, who kind of did the similar thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago where, you know, it's like.
I don't think McKay was doing it like this.
He did not have the insane power production. 31 home runs, I think, was among the most, if not the most, in the majors, or in the majors, in college baseball. Like, it was, like, up there, at least.
So he was one home run away from tying the BBCOR record.
For what it's worth, though, he's only pitched this one year, and it seems like he's way ahead as a batter compared to a pitcher, because he walks a lot of guys. But, you know, like, having that kind of talent is insane, and clearly he's someone that we should be watching as a future big leaguer if he can do both of those things at a certain high level. And those are the kinds of guys that can really make or break College World Series runs, right? Like, it's, you know, one guy can't carry you necessarily, but like they can put you, you know, sometimes it takes one good play, you know, in a double elimination tournament to swing it in your direction. So he is definitely a fun guy to watch. There's like college draft prospects. Yeah. And he's going to be back, which, you know, Cruz and Skeens will not. So he will probably take the mantle as the guy to watch if he hasn't been already.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, some College World Series hype to get excited about. So let's get into some Major League Baseball here, starting with Joey Votto will be returning to the Reds soon. He's finishing up his rehab assignment.
Now it's via TikTok.
Yeah, a great TikTok, you know, with him as a bus driver. And then
who's going to drive the bus?
Who's going to drive the bus? Yep. The Reds have won 8 in a row, and they just swept the reigning world champions.
I was going to say, like, they're like, I hate to get excited about the Reds because the Reds just don't excite me. But like, they got a good lineup. And I know Ellie isn't fully formed yet, but I don't know, just his energy maybe has been a part of it where it's like, okay, instead of, you know, who's the Chris Owings or whoever, you know, I think he was a Pirate this year, but like, instead of throw in infielder here, you got Ellie De La Cruz learning how to hit at a major league level combined with Spencer Steer, who's really good. And some of these other guys, you know, Jonathan India has been hitting really, really well recently. And then they got that dude Encarnacion Strand sitting in AAA.
Yeah, like, he hasn't even come up and he's like crushing.
He's the best hitter in AAA. And so, it's very, they're really interesting. They just need any pitching. A dude, Abbott came up actually. So he's like been huge. Like, I'm sure that's a huge part of why they're streaking right now.
He hasn't even allowed a run
yet.
Yeah,
he's just been
like,
crushing.
17 innings.
Shout out
UVA. He needs to get the walks under control a little bit.
Yeah, for dude in his first weeks in the major leagues, like, you take that. And the walks were not really a problem with him. So I think it's just a matter of learning how to pitch at that level, you know? So I really, that has been a huge boost for them. Because if they get that pitching taken care of and Encarnacion Strand comes up and can be a, you know,
they need
Joey
Votto's what they need.
Joey Votto's like protege, like, that would be insane. I will be very curious to see what Votto looks like coming back, because he was really off. And I, you know, obviously there were injuries and stuff, but the last, you know, year and then spring training and whatever the last time he hit, I don't even know when it was, but just really looked bad. And so I'm hoping he can at least stabilize that a little bit and kind of help these new guys nudge into this next phase they're in. Cause it seem, I mean, that is not a good division right now. Cause with the Cardinals,
they're only
struggling
a half game out from the Brewers.
I think they have the best lineup in the division.
Oh, 100%.
Hunter Green's one of the best pitchers in the division. They got a decent enough bullpen. you know, with Alexis Diaz at the back. They just need more depth and more of these guys to come up. And but they you can kind of see
there's something like, oh, there. Like, there's yeah, something it's stirring. Like, these guys are going to be top of the Central for a few years, kind of there. Like,
at the very least, you're going to have to get past them. You know, yeah. Like, they might not be dominant or anything. You know, it's going to take a lot of players hitting, but they could. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, you know, I'm always going to compare it to how the Braves did it, right? Because it's one of the successful versions of this. But, you know, you have an Ozzie and a Ronald, and, you know, you have these, you don't, they don't all have to be the Acuñas, right? But, like, if Spencer Steer is your consistent 3-4 win guy, like Ozzie's been for the Braves, or if you have Encarnacion Strand come up and be just a basher, you know, and it's just, this stuff adds up a lot, you know, and very quickly. And if Jonathan India and Tyler Stevenson go from being your best and second best player to your fifth and sixth best players, that's like substantial. You've
done something right. If that's
and
what
that's
happens.
Not like a ding on India. It's just like, that's just a lot of talent, you know, that they have now at their disposal that's still learning, you know, like Ellie is not going to peak right now. You know, it's just not going to happen yet, but he's still like the plays he's making are crazy, you know, and they're really fun. And I think that kind of stuff matters. So I always appreciate when a team feels like it's taken a proper step forward toward, we want to win baseball games and we feel confident in winning baseball games. And I think that's where they're at, even if there's still flaws left to kind of iron out.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all thought like the Central this year was going to be Cards, Brewers competing for it with the Cubs, you know, maybe in the mix there, but that it's like Reds.
They have some fun guys too. Chris Morel.
Brewers shout right out Chris now. Morel. Y'all, Chris Morel is sick. I picked him up on, I picked him up on my fantasy team a few weeks ago because like
fantasy gold.
Jimenez was just like not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I've been starting Morel since I picked him up. Like he's been insane. Nutty.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I hope, I mean, this is maybe one step too far, but like, I would love the Reds to buy is maybe too strong of a word, but just like shore up your rotation a little bit, right? Like just get some back end guys, like get guys that can just like put you, like can let up 4 runs and then you can have your, you know, hitting count for the rest, you know, your Kyle Gibsons of the world and whatever, like get some of those guys in the mix and just have consistent guys behind Green them. And Green and Abbott and whoever else they got. So just and then, like you said, like I mean, I think like Jake Fraley's been solid for them. TJ Friedel's like a guy. These are all like major league guys too, so it's not like they're like all they're crap dudes. You know, like it's like these are like valuable guys. Just get free agency, trade, whatever it is. If you get one guy, or maybe Steer is a right fielder, you know, because I think he's kind of like moving in different places, whatever it might be, you know, just I think they have a really good path forward. And this feels sort of like what we saw from the Orioles last year, where maybe they're jumping on something a lot quicker than we thought they would. So hopefully that translates into more success for them.
So moving on, another team that looks to be playoff bound, or at least right now they would be playoff bound, is the Angels. And this is like goes to show how insane Shohei Ohtani is. He currently leads the Angels in every hitting and pitching stat, with the exception of saves.
Every single one. Just bonkers.
Every single one.
He leads the majors in home runs now. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah, he went off for like 8 home runs this week
the
or
last
something
10
like
games,
that.
I think it is. He just hit another one. I think he hit 117 this afternoon for a home run. Oh, man.
There's that one he hit in Globe Life, the opposite field. That's like just like impossible. Like,
yeah.
But he smoked it. Like, it's like easy for him.
He is. I don't know what's going on, man. He is just. He's getting better.
I truly hope the Angels don't trade him. And they just ride this.
They're not trading him.
They cannot trade him now.
They're already too far ahead because this is the most success they've had in 10 years. Yeah, whatever it is.
Since
right?
they last like, made the playoffs.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're on like a genuine hot streak right now. They got solid pitching. You know, Shohei's doing his thing. Trout's on a really bad skid, actually. So,
yeah,
like, if he can hit.
They're still playing well.
It kind of, their infield's in shambles and they're still winning these games because Shohei's a damn machine. So, man, it is. It is
this
inspiring.
Guy's gonna get an insane contract in the offseason.
We just need is it even fair to like have MVPs like stacked up against him? I know there's been other good players, but like goodness gracious, man. Like you cannot like dude, this is crazy.
He's well on his way to winning his second MVP.
Yeah. Like he is just lapping the field. And I say this as someone that's watched Ronald Acuña and, you know, these guys, right? Like there's a lot of great players in baseball right now, but this is just another level that is just daily watching.
Well, you know, my dad would always talk about how he saw Ted Williams play and Carl Yastrzemski play.
Yeah.
And how insane it was to watch those. Like, we're going to get to tell our kids, like, we watched Shohei Ohtani play.
Oh, yeah.
We watched Shohei Ohtani just break baseball in the best ways.
My old man bit is going to be like, I think I'm just going to like be like, Shohei Ohtani is the best player to ever play, and you can't tell me otherwise.
100%.
Because I saw
as well.
It and you didn't.
Yeah, 100%. Meanwhile, they've got like some guy who hits like 80 home runs a year and strikes out 300 or something.
He's no Shohei Ohtani.
He's no Shohei.
Yeah, Babe Ruth can suck
it. It's because the balls are bigger and the bats are wider.
He's amazing. Glad it's weird that we get to talk about his success and the Angels' success. So
yeah,
hopefully more of that.
I hope they make the playoffs. I'm cool with that. I want to see a Shohei playoff run.
Yeah, see a home run derby in the ALCS. That'd be great.
Oh yeah. So moving on, we're gonna get into your team here, the Braves, and specifically my choice for MVP, Ronald Acuña Jr., first player to 15 home runs and 30 stolen bases in team's first 70 games played. The Braves just absolutely cooked the Rockies.
They really did.
40 runs in four games.
And Acuña did like nothing.
Yeah.
Like he took some walks. He had a couple singles and like it was just like Ozzy home run. Michael Harris 5 for 5. Eddie Rosario had 4 home runs. Like it was just crazy, man. Matt Olson grand slam in the first inning yesterday. It's just like there with Acuña, you know, at the time there was a stretch for a while where it was like, oh my god, Acuña's not like smoking every ball and we're not scoring. And now it's like, oh, he can take like a couple days off and it's like amazing and he's still probably the front runner for MVP. And it's like, holy crap, like this is like a fully formed machine right now. I don't know if you've seen the run differentials in the National League, but the Braves are...
I looked at it. The Braves one is insane.
They're taking off pretty fast, especially... I mean, we're going to have to probably talk about this maybe next week if this continues, but the Dodgers just got swept by the Giants and are now, I think, below the Giants in the standings, and the Arizona Diamondbacks well ahead of both. So maybe some AL West talk is due maybe next week, but... Yeah, the Braves are just like my favorite stat, and I've shared it with some other people. I don't know if you saw it in particular. This was probably leading into either today's or yesterday's games. They had, I believe it was 101 batted balls of 110 miles an hour or more this year or something like that.
Yeah.
And second place was 50 and like 40. It was like, and then,
it's insane.
I think sixth place was like 36. I forget what team it was. Acuña has 36 of those on his own. Like, it's just like, it's crazy. Like how they're like the barrel team, you know? And it's a lot of fun to watch when it like really works. And like that extends to freaking Orlando Arcia and Eddie Rosario. And even Marcelo Zuna's, you know, really picked it up, which... Based on, you know, we've talked plenty about him. I did not expect that to happen, but a welcome sight. You know, if we're going to play him, it's better to see him hit, you know, hit like that. And Harris was the biggest one where I was like, this is working really well. And everyone's, you know, it's great to see Ozzy and Acuña and everyone playing so well. But like Harris is really struggling for the first 2 months of the season. And he has just been lighting it up. His OPS is now above 700 after being below 500, I think, below 500, which is like really bad, like really, really bad at hitting, like entering June. And he has just been, he was dealing with some, you know, maybe mechanical issues. He's still like, what, 22 years old, whatever he is. He's like one of the youngest players in baseball still. And, you know, he's dealing some bad luck, dealing some swing issues, and I think it's starting to click back with him. And when he is on, man, it's just such a satisfying, like, baseball experience.
Yep.
He just, like, we've talked about these guys that just feel like they can do everything, and he's one of those, just on a smaller scale. The only kind of issue right now is the rotation is banged up because of Fried and Kyle Wright. Yeah. And Strider is hitting his kind of first rough stretch. Like, still a lot of strikeouts and stuff, but the command and velocity hasn't really been there. He's probably just kind of working through it. Morton is kind of like hit or miss, still like valuable and good, but like, you know, he'll have days where he just doesn't have it. But they're scoring so much, it hasn't mattered.
Yeah.
So I can't complain too much, you know.
They're good, and you know, getting into my team now, the Phillies.
Yeah.
So it's June, which means the Phillies, for whatever reason, the calendar turns, and all of a sudden the Phillies are just back. Specifically, they're 14-4 in June this month. They brought back Dancing on My Own as their celebration song. They stopped using it because they're like, it's a second place song, let's not use it. And then they just weren't playing well.
We need this damn song.
Yeah, then they bring it back. Garrett Stubbs puts it back on the playlist, and they're 13-2 since they brought it back. The big thing here is the pitching right now, specifically in the rotation. So Zach Wheeler has seemingly figured it out. His last, here is his last three starts, he's gone 18 1/3 innings, only 10 hits allowed, only one earned run, 19 strikeouts. He's dropped his ERA from 4.33 to 3.52. Taijuan Walker has also massively figured it out. His last three starts, 20 innings pitched, 11 hits, one run. One earned run, five walks, 21 strikeouts, a 0.45 ERA. Ranger Suarez has been lights out.
Because he started kind of rough because he came back from the injury. It was really like, oh man, I don't know if he's got this. And then he's been
he looks figuring like, it out like heavy. If I'm going to rank the rotation right now, it's Wheeler, Ranger, Walker, Nola in that order right now. Nola, like, Nola's struggling from the stretch.
That's been really
weird. Like, the pitch clock, I think, is really affecting him from the stretch because he feels so rushed. So he's been giving up a lot of home runs, especially from the stretch. It's a weird thing, but, like, the team is putting it together finally. Like, Castellanos is probably going to be an all-star representative from the team.
That's so crazy.
Bryson Stott how it's been. Might have a case for the all-star team as a reserve. Like, he's been incredible. Like, I knew he was going to take a jump forward this year. I didn't expect this jump forward. Like, I get major Chase Utley vibes from him. Like, the power is not Utley-ish, but man, that approach is very Utley-like.
The biggest compliment I can give him is that he's obnoxious to watch.
Yeah.
And it's like in like a very positive way. You know what I mean? He is just, he is a painful out.
Yeah.
And that is a good guy to have on your team.
Like the Trey Turner's even finally started to pick it up.
Yes, I've seen some much better swings from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I am someone that is very surprised at his struggles. So, you know, if you can get through this all, you know, the month you had without, or the little while you had without Bryce and Aaron Nola struggling and Trey Turner being, you know, fading into oblivion, like if you can emerge from that and be like, you know, kind of in the mix still for the playoffs and stuff.
It's nice that they're finally there, but it's also like kind of frustrating because like they've been so good, but it feels like we've gained no ground in the division because
Marlins, the Braves are so hot, and
the Marlins.
I was
going
to say, do we need to bring up the Marlins real quick?
I think, like, we do. Like, the Marlins are a playoff team right now.
It's kind of crazy how good they're playing.
Yeah,
like
it's Arias, man. He's leading that team.
Yeah, Arias is like,
and Jorge Soler is like,
yeah,
smoking
his thing. Yeah, like all these guys, like kind of ragtag guys, are kind of fun and clicking, and Yuri Perez has been really good. Yeah. Even Sandy hasn't totally still been there, but they're scoring when he's pitching recently, and it's like, all right, like, you know.
Jesus Luzardo, yeah, he's a good starter to have. Like, they're a solid team.
The offense is putting up runs, which they just have not been able to do in a while. Like I said, I'll always be a Jorge Soler fan. whatever he wants to do, you know, hey man, do it in Philly or do it in Miami too. I'm cool with that. But I figured we were talking so much about Atlanta and Philly, like,
they're worth talking about.
Yeah, because they are 10 games good. Above 500. Is that right?
Yeah, 10 games,
41-31,
five back of the NL East lead.
Like, considering the stretch the Braves are on, the fact that the Marlins are like, yeah, we're solidly number two. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, this would be the time of the year where the Marlins usually are like, ah, crap, we're fourth again. You know? Like, so, you know, kudos to them. We'll see. And they're going to make, you know, everyone's life a little bit difficult, but especially the Phillies, yeah, who have always struggled against the Marlins for some reason.
We've been better of late against them, though. I think we took two from them in the only series we played against them this year. I know
over the last few years when the Marlins were getting laughed at by everyone else, the Phillies were like, why can't we beat these
guys? Smoking the Phillies. Yep. Dude, it's so frustrating.
The Braves have not had that issue, fortunately. So hopefully that's because Acuna's
their dad. You want to talk about Father's Day? Acuna's their dad.
Loves Miami. So, yeah, but. Lots of fun stuff in the NL East, and we're about to
Braves, we got the series.
Phillies come up here. Is it in Philly?
It's in Philly. Yeah. So Tuesday is Strider versus Ranger, mm-hmm, which is like
Strider. Welcome back to Philly,
Strider. Yep.
See if he can. I'm interested that one.
To see. Like, these games are already sold out.
Yeah.
So I expect a playoff like atmosphere there again.
Yeah.
Because like. We show up for the Atlanta series and the Mets series. Those are the big series to us. So I think it's be interesting to see how Strider pitches in Philly after Hoskins did his best to try and Brad Lidge on.
Yeah, we'll see if he comes back a little motivated. I think we might see some.
That's going to be
a little bit better. But obviously the Phillies lineup has the chance of, you know, popping off.
I don't know what the other two starters are for this series.
I mean, the Braves are running out AJ Smith, Schauffer, and stuff right now. Like that's the other part that I didn't even touch upon is that Bryce Elder, AJ Smith, Schauffer, and Jared Schuster are winning games. Yeah, you know?
Those feel like guys the Phillies offense could jump on.
Yeah,
but I think Walker's going to start a game.
Bryce Elder is like the weirdest pitcher. I think he's the weirdest pitcher I've ever experienced. He is just like the total throwback, like bowling ball sinker and like change up, and that's it. And he's got like a 2.5 ERA. And I'm like, listen, man, don't show me the stats. You know, like just don't. Yeah. You don't have to explain to me how this is happening. If you can somehow finish the season with like a 2-something ERA, I don't care if it's sustainable. You know, just. Keep doing what you're doing. I know it's probably not true talent. I don't care. Do what you do. Good job, Bryce Elder.
So it'll be Nola for game two of the series against Smith Schauffer.
That's fine.
And then Walker versus Elder in game three. So
cool.
Some pretty good matchups for the weekend.
And, you know, Philly's in an interesting position because they started off, you know, still relatively poorly for what they wanted to do. But. You know,
and now it's June.
Yeah, it's June. They're hot, and you know, it really shows how quickly things can change, right? You know, a good hot streak can really put you back on track.
It's nice to not be hating baseball
and not be the New York Mets. You know,
Let's real quick talk about them.
I thought we were just gonna stick their middle fingers in the air and then call it a day. Honestly.
Well, you know what? I'd love to write on them
because
I love what they're doing, dude. They suck. It's so funny. Max Scherzer and Verlander are garbage.
It's really weird.
So bad.
They can't score without Pete hitting the home runs.
No, they can't. So you know,
did you watch the series? This is probably last week, but did you watch the series they played with the Braves?
Yes, and like they had leads, and then they kept blowing them.
4-1 lead, blew it. 4-1 lead, blew it. And then what? 8-3, blew it. Something like that.
What? It's like the one game.
Some outrageous nonsense. Elder
to throw it again.
Yeah, because it was like the one game where they tried to brutalize Elder, and then the Braves came in and just started torching them.
Like, they lost today to the Cardinals, 8-7.
Like, the Cardinals have been like the saddest team in baseball for the last 2 weeks again, and then they come and beat up the Mets.
It's great
today. So.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's been if we don't get anything out of this series, I think we can agree that, you know, screw the Mets.
I still think the NL is going to go through both Philly and Atlanta. Like, I feel like the World Series is going to come from one of these two teams.
I think the Braves have like way the highest World Series odds right now. I know that doesn't mean anything really, but you know, they're performing. But it does mean they're performing to the level that they were projected, which is very good.
So, like, people say, like, oh, the Phillies aren't going to win the division. I'm like, well, yeah, they don't need to. Like, they just got to get in, man. Like,
if there's anything
we've seen from the NL the last few years,
the World Series
winner has not won the division.
Get there and swing for the fences and hope for the best, you know?
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun. I'll surely be watching this.
Yeah, yeah. Me as well. You know, a lot of talking, going, whoops, there I go. I did it now.
we both did it. That's okay. We're even.
Sorry, Naeem. Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up then. Mm-hmm. Dylan, thank you once again, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah. Rain Delay Radio is produced by Lewis, myself, Pat, and Dylan. We co-host this week's episode. Rain Delay Radio is edited by Naeem. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Lees. Rain Delay Radio releases every Monday morning at 1 a.m. Eastern. Thank you once again for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.